This podcast includes unapologetic logic and reason and may not be suitable for all audiences. In a world full of nonsense, he's been called the voice of uncommon common sense. He sees the abnormal that many find normal. Author and award-winning speaker, he is Chris.
As much as the news is fake garbage, and we all know that, there's a lot of interesting stories floating out there and a lot of change going on that's happening very, very quickly. And I think most people have their heads in the sand. They really do. My daughter left a little note on my desk down here. I was a little taken aback by it. She said, here's some inspiration. She said, right now the country is a messy room and nobody's doing anything to clean it up. It's really true. On the Monday radio show, Project Chaos, I was talking about the events of April 29th throughout history. I think I mentioned some of this yesterday, but it was really an incredible discussion. It's the name of the show was Man in the Arena, if you know the speech by Teddy Roosevelt. And the quote, the Man in the Arena quote, is a very small part of a much larger speech and a whole speaking tour that he went on to deliver it after he was president, no less. Talk about meddling in politics. I wonder what the word of the day was then. But I'll tell you, it's really interesting to look at what he said and compare that to what's going on today. Very interesting to look at what he said and what happened. Even it was like he was foretelling the future, telling people, you better prepare for this, and here's how you need to prepare for it. Sounds eerily similar. So what do we want to talk about today? I saw this story, and coming off the heels of that story I shared with how the news is manipulated, do you recall the story? I know everybody has short memories these days, but not me. Not for certain things, anyway. The story was that the country, Qatar, wanted to have the Soccer World Cup in their country, not in the United States. So they hired this PR guy who then got a lobbyist to convince a politician that there should be no funding for a World Cup here in the United States as long as there's obesity in schools, and if we can't fund our own gym programs, and we shouldn't be funding a soccer program, right? Or a soccer, what do you call it, World Championship. Now, I wonder why there has to be any government support of these sports was the first thing that jumped out at me about this story. Why, now, you could say the government would have to approve it, but wouldn't that be done at the city-state level? Why would the federal government have to be involved in providing funding for this? Why are we, the taxpayers, paying for this? Why isn't it self-supporting, corporate-supported, whatever the case might be? I mean, they have the money to hire lobbyists. There must be some kind of financial interest in it. Well, that's the first thing that jumped out at me. But what the main part of the story was how cheaply, and I've been telling you this, what did I say, $10,000 he paid the lobbyists. Now, to get this, the World Cup changed, all on false premises, all on false premises. Our country was deceived and robbed out of an opportunity so that some politician could get $10,000, and I don't even think the politician got 10. I think the lobbyist, and they don't even call them lobbyists, they call them consultants, and every politician has to have one these days. Oh, which consultant are you? It's such a black hat business, I can't begin to tell you. But basically, for about $5,000, we pissed away an opportunity to have the World Cup here, gave it up to Qatar, all on false premise. I don't care. I don't like soccer. I don't think we should be paying for it anyway. But it's really a fascinating story. You look at how easily things are manipulated. You think these politicians are doing what's right for the country. They're following the next 32 cents. It's disgusting. Selling out our country for a pittance. Opportunities. Land of opportunity. Boy, that's a new take on that. So, the manipulation of the news. The news isn't news. It's not designed to inform you. It's designed to deceive you. Are you not seeing that? So then I see this coming out of Newsweek. I don't trust Newsweek. Do you trust Newsweek? Warning, as the first American dolphin diagnosed with highly pathogenic bird flu. What? A dolphin with bird? And how are they finding this out? So it was in March 2022, two full years ago, that this dolphin died and they did an autopsy on this. And I'm here again. I'm wondering, who's paying for all this? Who's got time that they're sitting around waiting to scoop? We better check that dolphin for bird flu. How do you even know what they're finding? You don't know. All right? But that's only part of the story. And I see more and more of this with the birth. It's an election year. They want to keep everybody scared, everybody to be nervous. Purposeful confusion, purposeful chaos and confusion. You know, I was talking to a buddy of mine about these Hamas protesters at these universities. You know, here's what they should do. They should just go out there with a hose, nothing torment or anything, and just a sprinkler, not even a hose, and just wet them down periodically. 1 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, make it rain, baby. Turn that field into mud, and I bet you they'll be out of there in a nanosecond. They wouldn't be able to take it. I find this whole thing absolutely humorous in that these morons are chanting for the death of Israel to the death of Jewish people, and I don't think they could fight their way out of a wet paper bag. If they begin any conflict, all they're going to accomplish is hurting themselves more than likely. Anyway, nothing is what it seems, was my point. And none of the news is being properly reported. And it's an election year, so everything's a little goofy. But then you got this mixing in of these bird flus. And boom, this pops up. Here, now we're talking. U.S. to test ground beef in states with bird flu outbreaks in dairy cows. Let me tell you the story, and then I'll tell you what's really going on. This came out of Reuters. The U.S. government said on Monday it's collecting samples of ground beef at retail stores in states with outbreaks of bird flu in dairy cows for testing, but remains confident the meat supply is safe. Federal officials are seeking to verify the safety of milk and meat after confirming the H5N1 virus in 34 dairy cattle herds in 9 states since late March. Both the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization have said that the overall public health risk is low, but is higher for those with exposure to infected animals. Scientists believe outbreaks are more widespread in cows than officially reported based on findings of H5N1 particles in about 20% of milk samples. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration said on Friday the preliminary results of gold standard PCR tests showed pasteurization killed the bird flu virus in milk, though. The U.S. Department of Agriculture will analyze retail ground beef samples with PCR tests that indicate whether any viral particles are present. So let me tell you what's really going on here, and I've been telling you about this with this damn virus testing, man. This is going to be the new, I don't even know what to call it. The new bizarro world, okay? First of all, you're going to watch as the price of beef goes through the roof. I would imagine it's already causing it to go up. So fear, they're going to begin testing. They're going to begin pulling samples. Do you know what that means? You know what that means for a real life? What's going to happen to the truck driver? Everybody freaks out, right? And all you can guarantee, which was the design of this, then what happens next? Well, the price goes up. You'll hear it on the news. Beef prices up sharply based on exposure to the H5N1 virus found in 24 herds of dairy cows in 2022. The dolphin died. And everybody goes, oh, okay. Let me give you my advice. Buy your own damn cow. You're not going to be able to afford beef. I was looking. My wife picked up a peck of wings. I like wings. And I'm not going to say the retailer. You know, I don't like to do that. And I don't have any problem with the retailer. I basically got 3 servings out of these wings, and I'm a big eater. But these weren't huge servings. I would say three to four meals. Let's call it 4 meals of wings, okay? 4 servings for me. Not like, you know, USDA servings, but my kind of serving. So there was basically 4 servings in this pack. It was like $24, like $7, $8 a serving for the wings. Like 8-10 wings that I got to cook myself and clean up after myself. Not even getting served. Cost of food has gone through the roof. Oh, let me use this as a good segue, actually. Let's keep it positive, shall we? I had a buddy of mine call me. He said, you know, I was feeling a little depressed when I called you, but, you know, I really feel much more inspired right now. Let me do the same for you. Bird flu, dolphin flu, beef prices up. Listen, I told you that you need to be growing your own food. And you need to have perfected that. And don't take for granted that you know how to do it. And I'm telling you that from experience. Like a few of our crops did not materialize, if you know what I'm saying. Now, there was things going on, and we were eating just fine. So it was nothing emergent. But here's my point about all that. If you're trying to figure out how to grow potatoes when you at the point when you need to eat, I'm afraid you might be in big trouble. And I'm telling you, I see things at the point now. I'm telling you, I'd be planting a war garden. I really would. And let me just tell you what we're doing. And I'll tell you the benefits of it. You're going to get outside. You're going to do a little work. But I'm going to tell you something else. You need to set this up in a way. You just think that you're going to spend all day, every day out cultivating and toiling around in the garden because the world's gone to hell in a handbasket. And I wouldn't take for granted that that's going to be the case at all. At all. How good would it be that you could take once or twice a week and prepare a really good, robust meal? And I'm going to tell you that no cost. It may come a day where you're so thankful that you have that. Believe me. I'm not going the chicken and rabbit route yet. You got to really consider that option carefully. I've said this many times. If you don't have the ability to create food for the birds or the rabbits, it's not very sustainable at that point. You're still tied back to, you know, relying on somebody. So, what do you do? Well, I'm saying, look, I'm not going to put that in the mix right away. And there's different ways to approach it. You can read about it. You could store certain grains. You could certainly grow certain things. And I've also seen where they pretty easily generate fly larvae that the chickens can eat. Kind of disgusting, I know. And I was talking to someone, I don't know if I'd want to be eating chicken that was fed off of fly larvae. I said, that's kind of a good point. Does it affect the quality of the meat? I don't really know. I suppose at that point you're not really splitting hairs over all that. But needless to say, it's a messy, busy venture, and there's other considerations. I haven't gone that route yet, but I highly recommend you start growing some basic vegetables, and I highly recommend that part of that plan include starchy and or fibrous fruits, vegetables, whatever you can. What am I talking about? Apple tree, potatoes in particular, two big ones, I guess. You know, some rooted vegetables that you can keep through the growing seasons. Do you have the ability to grow a little something indoors? We're going to work on that too. And let me tell you what we set up. And here's the other thing. I started to say this, you know, about not having the time to commit to it all day, every day, like a farmer. In other words, this operation has to run with some kind of efficiency. A raised bed garden is a great way to accomplish that. It's just easier to maintain, generally speaking, because for one, you're not bending over to do it. And it just, if you spread some mulch around, you keep the weeds down or some plastic or whatever, it really can be, you know, almost maintenance free. So, but I don't want to do that. I don't want a bunch of raised bed gardens around my property, at least not right now. So I have the best of both worlds. I have mobile and able to be easily, they're modular, and that is planter bags. And that's the reason I got to tell you, I put the first tomato in there, and it, like right away, I already got a tomato coming on that thing. So, you know, is that indicative that we're going to have a great crop? I wouldn't say so yet, but I'm going to tell you this. I think that we're headed, I told my wife, I said, get ready. We're going to have a good crop this year. Once I get this nailed down a little better, I made some changes to the garden area as well, and I can easily expand this. I really can. And, but anyway, once I do that, I'm going to expand ours, you know, probably do, I don't know if I want to do an apple tree. I think I have to look into it. I believe if you're going to do an apple tree, you need to do at least two so they can pollinate, which means that you really need like four or five to make it work, I think would be the answer to that. And, but then, you know, whether it's one or five or whatever, man, you got to deal with the apples on the ground. You can't just leave those sit like that for a number of different reasons. For one thing, the seeds are poisonous. They'll poison the ground with cyanide. That's true. Apple orchards are tainted environmental areas. So you got to deal with that. But more importantly, the bugs and the animals, man. We had a couple of those trees out back. You have attract quite the critters in with that kind of fruit laying on the ground. So it gets to be a little bit difficult if you're not prepared to manage that. So I'm not prepared to manage it. So that's why I have an apple tree right now. We have a pear tree, and that's more than enough for us. So we have that covered there. But I'd like to add some, like, raspberry, maybe some blueberries to the mix. And I think I might do the same thing. I might put it in a planter bag. I really might. Just go get one of those. I might even buy those. Can you buy those dry root? I don't know. Just stick it in there and let it run. We'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, I see this article, how they're going to start testing ground beef. These PCR, I can just feel it coming. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But this is the dystopic control mechanism I see coming. The beef supply's tainted. Sorry. How do you know? How do you know that they're not just artificially manipulating the supply to artificially manipulate the prices? You don't even know what's going on behind the scenes. I bet you. So what do? Go get yourself a half a cow and put it in the freezer. You have a freezer, right? Gotta have a freezer. I'm going to start there. Go get a half a cow down at the butcher. You'll get a good price on that. All of it's up, that's for sure. I was down in a big meat warehouse down the Jersey Shore. I couldn't believe the prices I saw down there. Crazy. Now, they say that the meat supply is safe, so that tells you that the next step is it's not so safe. It's all a psychological game. Speaking of psychological game, listen to these two big ones. I don't know if I'm going to get through all these stories today. Here's the report from The Sun, because they're credible. Okay, here's a real indication that this is garbage. They say that Russia has lost 450,000 soldiers, 3,000 tanks, according to a UK tally. The humiliating blow for Putin means that Moscow has lost an average of 560 troops a day. I don't think so. I don't think it's even close to that. A Russian tank burns at a roadside amid a Ukrainian ambush. I don't believe any of this. I don't believe any of it at all. Putin has American tanks. How do we know what's really going on? We have no real idea. Putin is turning to old and rusting Cold War tanks after heavy losses on the battlefield. I don't think so. They do show a few images here. Russian soldiers taken out by Ukrainian forces during an intense battle. Dead guys laying around. But the images are all blurred out. None of this looks real to me. So many of these images, I don't really see any blood. I don't see any indication that there's been a real cat. I don't know. Maybe it was just like some kind of... I don't know what killed these guys according to this thing. But I don't believe any of this. I think Putin's doing a lot better. Look, Ukraine's losing. This is how fake the news is. They're, at the same time, do I have it here? Nah, we don't have that update. Maybe tomorrow. Not in the mix for today. But I just saw a headline we got coming up. They're saying that the Ukraine can't win. Like, this is a slow ending here. And it's just a matter of time before it reaches a tipping point. Russia controls like 20% of the country now. And I wonder if it wasn't all just meant to grind the United States and NATO down. I really do. And how effective has it been in doing that? We spent a fortune. We have no money. We're bankrupt. Maybe that's the Chinese-Russian plan. Just keep grinding us down financially, right? Hit a bridge, jack up the cost, more inflation. And just it ultimately renders our country out of existence for all practical matters. So listen to this. You remember the Hunter Biden story? You remember he was supposed to appear for Congress? He was subpoenaed and didn't show up, and the Republicans did nothing about it? Oh, the story gets better. This guy, Hunter Biden, is an amazing character, I'll tell you. Listen to what's going on now. He never appeared for Congress. He never made any statements, and the Republicans didn't do squat. They didn't do a damn thing for all the bark. Wah, 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 wah. What do we get? We got nothing. That's the Republican Party now. Wah, wah, wah. I hope you're not giving any money to the Republican Party. A big waste. I wouldn't give them a nickel. We got to reverse this trend. You want money? We need to see results first. Let's start getting paid like the lawyers do. We want to be paid up front. You go first. Do something good for the country. Then we'll contribute to your campaign. Hunter Biden is suing Fox News for airing revenge porn. This is information that was released off the stolen laptop that they said wasn't stolen, that the FBI said was disinformation. Now, and it seemingly implicates the president's son in some kind of pedophilia. I mean, we don't know the ages of the people involved, but they're a lot younger than him. Pretty disgusting by all accounts. You know, I don't care what he's recovering from. How about the damage done to those kids? And now, not only will he not see any accountability for any of this, not even a proper inquiry, now he's going to sue Fox News. And you watch when he wins. And then they'll say, well, you can appeal. Yeah, you can appeal. How much does that cost to appeal? How much law? The lawfare was unleashed on the politicians against the politicians. How long before they unleash it on you? They're doing it on the beef industry. They're going to say, well, we're going to need to test this beef. Test it for what? We'll let you know. We'll let you know when we find it. cashed. This is another incredible. So Hunter Biden, right? He's going to sue Fox News for airing the truth. You can't tell the truth anymore. I'm telling you, it's coming to a rapid end. I can feel it. I've said it for many years, even about this podcast. What have I said to you? You're going to wake up one day. It's not going to be here because I'm not going to be allowed to do it anymore. And I really don't know how I feel about taking up the fight. I'm getting old and tired. Let somebody else deal with it for a change. I'll deal with it when the time comes. We'll see. But you just watch. You just watch. They're going to cut the podcast. I can see it coming. It's not making any money. You got the only people making any money on the podcast right now are the hosting companies. Nobody's, you know, the big shots are making a couple of bucks. It's horrible. I was looking, Dan Bongino, he's made a great go of it. But I really wonder how much of a go of it he's really making. He's not making the kind of money that Limbaugh was making, not even close. I don't know. I'm not trying to bash Bongino, by the way. I'm simply pointing out what he's dealing with, how difficult it is, how conservatives get silenced. I don't believe that he has any actual sponsors. I could be wrong about that. I probably am. But a lot of what he seems to be doing to me is affiliate marketing, which is great. I'm a big believer in it. It's a win-win, and it's the model that I would like to follow. We're not even close. But here's what I know. I went and looked at his affiliate list. I found the company that's pushing the affiliate stuff. I got all the companies that participate. I was like, this is perfect. Well, what I'm seeing now is that, you know, a lot of other people are seeing the same things that I'm seeing. They're already pushing this stuff. If I see the same solar-powered, quote, generator pop up one more time, and let me tell you, that stuff is overpriced garbage, largely. You can get into a nicer setup for a lot less money. And if you really need to get into something like that, are you going to really buy a packaged unit like that? You could go get a couple of car batteries, build a box. You need to know a little bit of what you're doing. And you could go get Harbor Freight solar panels and build something like that for probably a third or less of the cost. You really could. It's pretty ridiculous, some of the stuff. And it's all being sold, you know, pushing out fear. I'll say this, and there's another big story I want to make sure I have time for. Where is that? Hunter Biden. Okay, yeah, I want to talk about this election stuff. This is unbelievable when I tell you this. But anyway, Hunter Biden, I just lost my train of thought. Growing the food. Oh, the fear-mongering and the electric, that's what it was, with the generators. You know, let me tell you, if electric goes out, and it's really kind of crazy to me how reliant our society is. If you saw the electric go out, let me tell you what's going to happen. If there was no electric, all right, you were not going to have any lights, obviously. No computers, TVs, all that stuff obviously goes out, right? And that's a big problem. Because it's going to be dark, and that's going to be a little freaky in a lot of ways. No street lights, no interior lights, no lights, no lights, no lights. There'll be flashlights for a little while, but that stuff is going to be gone quickly for people who haven't prepared. Now, that's the first problem, and that's a minor problem in the overall scheme of things. The next thing that you're going to wipe out without electric, you cannot really, I mean, there are some limited options available, but basically you cannot have central heat without electric, for all intent and purposes. Think about buildings in New York City and other places. What do they do without power? They cannot exist without it. They're not designed to exist without it. The technology, there's no fireplaces in these buildings to begin burning what? To begin burning what? All the trees are cut down now anyway. I think the prediction of a mass die-off in an event like that is probably pretty accurate. But you'd have no light. You'd have no central heat. What else would you not have? You'd have no pumps to run water and sewer. But the bigger one ahead of that, I think, is the lack of refrigeration. All the food spoils. How quickly? Lights go out, no heat, and whatever food, dry products you have is it. And everything else is going to shut down then. I mean, it's heinous when you think about, and what's the backup plan and all that, individually and collectively? Could it happen? Would it happen? I don't know. Let me tell you this. This is an article out of the Boston Herald. And let me go to the actual article here. And I don't know if they were trying to say this is a national plan, but they say cash-strapped election offices have fewer resources after bans on private grants. In April, Wisconsin joined 27 other states that have banned or restricted local government's use of private donations to run cash-strapped election offices. How much more evidence do you need that the votes were bought? Buy voting equipment or hire poll workers for Election Day. All of the state laws came in the past 4 years, pushed by conservative lawmakers and activists who claim that Democrat voters are disproportionately benefited from hundreds of millions of dollars in grants, primarily funded by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and his wife. Is that what they were doing? So they were going to go pay election workers who all ended up being liberal. And that's why what you're getting is so phony, because you're not actually getting people who are truly volunteering for the system. They're being paid to represent those interests. You don't think that they're filtering everything through to make sure that they don't get people like me? Courts and federal regulators have rejected those claims, but the debate over the role of outside money reveals a broader worry among election experts who say there are significant shortcomings in local government funding of election offices. And they go on and on and on to say how local municipal budgets are tight and they vary depending on the tax base. It can be hard to justify a new ballot counting machine when there are potholes to fix or schools to fund. Listen, the schools are already so grossly overfunded, it's not even funny. The schools are wasting so much money, it's not even funny. And if you're a teacher, I'm really sorry to say that. I don't blame the teachers at all. I do not blame the teachers. The roads, look at the quality of our roads. And isn't it, do you know what a private community is? Maybe some of you live in one. Usually there's an HOA, a homeowners association, private gated community sometimes, but it doesn't have to be gated. Sometimes on a golf course, private community on a golf course. What does that mean? Whether it's gated or not, it doesn't mean that it's a private road that you can't go in there. People can go in there. It's open access, if you will, although they do have the right to gate it and restrict that access. It's a private road, meaning that the township, the municipality, doesn't govern it, doesn't pay for it. They pay for it all themselves. They own it. They pay for it. So what's the point? Go into any private community, anywhere in the country, any state. I dare you to find a pothole. Find one. Find one and report it to me. You won't find one. I'm going to make that bold of a claim. I just drove through a community that I built back in the early 90s, a private gated community, 81 homes, 81 single family homes with a clubhouse, a pool, private gated community, all private roads. I couldn't believe how well they had been maintaining them. They have not been repaved in 30 years. They haven't either. They've been so well maintained, they haven't had to repave them. The cost must be very, very low. Very, very reasonable. I know some of those people that are running that. It's incredible. So how is, if you don't need more evidence, the government only serves to destroy. I mean, what better example do you need? So what's the answer to that? Privatize everything you can so that there's an owner who gives a hoot. Privatize more of the roads. Privatize all the schools. Get government out with limited exception. Same with healthcare. All of these things. The answer is simple. Just get government out of it. Beef testing, all of it. Get government out. It would be so much better, I promise you that. This is coming from somebody who spent 14 years in government. I'll leave you with this story. So the job that I got fired from, there's a story there I haven't really told. But it is a story that could be told. I had created a video for that town. It's amazing the things that I did there. Someday I'll be able to tell you about it. I never spoke a word about it. Very involved in a lot of projects and a lot of what went on. And it'd be interesting to tell that story. There was a time when it was great. I got into it 14 years ago. At that time, my business was winding down and I needed a job and I took it temporarily. I fell in love with it and I stayed. Took the lower pay, sometimes not the working conditions were fine. It was a lot of aggravation, particularly in the end. And there were some other things going on. But anyway, the long story short, I did this video for the town, this promotional video, a voiceover for it. I wrote it, I recorded the voice, and then the imagery behind it was from the town's drone department. They had a mapping department. They had all this drone. It was an incredible video. And I'm thinking about doing a sequel, only in a podcast. Maybe with a little different message. I think it would be kind of funny to shine a light on it and really embarrass some of the people who think that they can't be, you know, that they're above reproach when in fact they stink. They stink like hell. Dirty, filthy people. I promise you that. I know them well. We'll see. I'm a little undecided, but there's a good chance I'm going to have a fiery little podcast coming on that. I'll keep you posted, God willing. I'll be back tomorrow. I sure hope to see you there. In the meantime, make it a great day.